The opening of our parsha finds Hashem instructing Moshe to prepare Aaron and his children for the kahuna, for their service in the Mishkan. And at the outset of our parsha, we read, and this is of course where the parsha gets its name, we read the following opening of the sentence of the pasuk: Tzav es Aharon ves banav lemor, zos toras ha'ola. Moshe is told, command Aaron and his children regarding the ola offering. And Rashi quotes on this pasuk from the Medrash in the Torah's Kohanim, which notices that this is not your typical term that is used for a command or an instruction in the Torah. Usually we have the more familiar terms of emor or daber, emor al haron, emor al bnei Yisrael, daber aleihem. Instead, here we have the word, the command, tzav. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that, in fact, the reason is that tzav is used when you have the following three conditions: ziruz, miyad, and ledoros. That is to say, it's something that needs to be communicated that is ziruz, it needs urging. Miyad, it has to be done promptly, immediately. Ledoros, it is referring to something that must be done for future generations as well. Rashi then quotes a continuation of the Medrash, in which the great sage Rabbi Shimon then says, this is true when there is chisaron kis, when we're describing a loss of money. The comment quoted by Rashi is quite intriguing, but still a little bit vague. In fact, the ambiguity, the vagueness of this Medrash leads to a machlokes among some of the other classical mafarshim, notably the Ramban and the Mizrahi. Ramban says that Rabbi Shimon is actually arguing on the first opinion, the Tanna Kamma, in the Medrash, and is suggesting an alternative. The first opinion says you only use the word tzav if whatever is coming after it fits all three requirements. It is something that is urgent, has to be done immediately, and will serve for continuity for future generations. And came along Rabbi Shimon and said, no, even if you're missing those, but if it's something that has to do with the loss of money, then that's enough of a reason to use the word tzav. The Mizrahi, on the other hand, says no. Rabbi Shimon is going to add on to what the first opinion was. And that is to say, not only does it have to have the first three requirements of zeros, miyad, and ledoros, but it also has to have a loss of money. It also has to be chisaron kis. So that's one very interesting machlokas. If we think about it, we can apply this to the context of our parsha, where Moshe is preparing Aaron and his children to serve in the kahuna. And according to that first opinion, that is the zeros, miyad, and the doros, we can really understand what's happening here very beautifully. Hashem is telling Moshe to prepare Aaron and emphasizing to Moshe not to hesitate, to realize the significance of this event for Aaron and the Jewish people, and the fact that this is going to be something that's not only temporary or just for the moment, but in fact, Aaron and his children will serve for the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash and for all generations. However, it's not clear how Rabbi Shimon's opinion would relate to the story at hand. Whether Rabbi Shimon is arguing on the first opinion or adding to the first opinion, in what way is there a chisaron kis? Is there a financial loss here? On the contrary, don't the Kohanim benefit and get all sorts of presents, matnos kahuna? They make money from their service in the Beis HaMikdash. They get the gifts of being a Kohen, the privileges of being a Kohen. So the Ramban actually says, you're right, ein hachinami. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is not shayach here at all. However, the Ramban then continues and says, well, maybe he is relevant and suggests that there's a loss when the Kohanim offer their own karbonos, because then they're offering, so to speak, from their own money. Obviously, they're not benefiting in that situation. Chaskuni, however, says it's not just the rare situation of offering their own karbon. Anytime the Kohanim offer a karbon, the entire karbon service, the avodas hakarbonos, the sacrificial service, requires the Kohanim, who are now being inaugurated, to act with such great meticulous care, because if they mess up in any way at any point, then the karbon becomes disqualified, needs to be replaced, and it will cause financial harm unnecessarily to the owners. And therefore, that is the tzav and the zeros, because there's real potential of chisaron kis. Another intriguing idea to consider is perhaps chisaron kis here, from Rabbi Shimon's perspective, is not for Aaron and his children, but for Moshe. Until this time, Moshe had served as kind of the Kohen Gadol. Now Moshe is giving that up to his brother and Aaron's descendants for the rest of Jewish time, for Jewish history. So perhaps the illusion, is, perhaps one could argue, is for Moshe's loss. It's a chisar and kisar Moshe, a loss of position and stature, that he is no longer the Karbon. And perhaps Hashem is telling him, despite that fact, this is for the greater good, this is my will. And therefore, without any hesitation, with alacrity, with great urgency, with meticulousness, appoint and inaugurate and help Aaron begin his service. So we see here this seemingly innocent and easily overlooked word choice, tzav, as opposed to emor or daber, leads a number of mefarshim, Ramban, Mizrahi, Chizkuni, and others, to try to understand why this word is used and how it relates to the situation at hand. This is a good example of how mefarshim, especially the Rishonim, the classical mefarshim, took great care in reading every single pasuk and every single word, and noticed nuances and slight changes in words and that are used in the Torah, and they elucidate that, which gives and provides great insight into the Torah text.